For our scripture reading this morning, please turn with me to the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 6. We will read the verses 10 through 18. Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10, and read through verse 18, where we read God's holy word. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So far, the reading of the word of God. We will continue our series on the armor of God, and therefore the text of the sermon is found in this portion, namely verse 15. And then we read the text of the sermon, God's holy word, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Beloved congregation, today we want to pay attention to our shoes. Children, how many different kinds of shoes do you have? You have outdoor shoes. You might have indoor shoes. You probably have rain boots and snow boots. You use them on a rainy day or when there is a layer of snow. Maybe you also have running shoes or sneakers. Maybe you have dressy shoes for when you go out. And maybe some of us have special construction shoes with a protective steel toe and a puncture-resistant sole. There are all kinds of shoes, and every kind serves a particular purpose. How many kinds of shoes do you need? I remember from the years that I worked at an office that a co-worker wore different shoes every day. She had a room full of shoes. For every dress he bought, another pair of shoes was needed. Well, Paul also speaks about shoes when he deals with the different parts of the armor of God. How many kinds of shoes do you need spiritually? Only one kind of shoes. A Christian always needs to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The theme of the sermon is a Christian needs to have his feet shod. First of all, we will pay attention to the kind of shoe. Secondly, the need of this shoe. And thirdly, the putting on of shoes. A Christian needs to have his feet shod. The kind of shoe, the need of this shoe, and the putting on of shoes. The text which is under our consideration has been interpreted variously from almost the very beginning of the Christian church. Some commentators see in this text an admonition to every Christian to be ready to spread the gospel of peace wherever we go, Already in the early church, we find this explanation. Let me mention the explanation of an early church father called Marius Victorinus. He lived in the 4th century and has written commentaries on the epistles of Paul. And he says about this text, the gospel is to be carried abroad. It is to be preached among the nations. Wherever then it is preached, it must be heard. But so that all may hear, one must use one's feet to travel. And so do we travel with haste and urgency. And it is a true and biblical statement. And yet with many other commentators, I agree that this explanation does not fit with our text. Our text is not about feet, but about shoes. The armor of God is not about spreading the gospel, but about fighting a battle with the devil, sin, and our own flesh. The shoes which Paul alludes to are not meant for traveling, but to stand firm. And that is the main thought of putting on the armor of God. In verse 13, we read, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In verse 14, we read a conclusion, stand therefore. And these words should echo in our mind with every part of the armor of God Paul is mentioning. As it were, the sentence continues, stand therefore, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The necessity of good shoes points to the need to stand firm. The question of our text is not how we can spread the gospel, but how we can stand firm against all the wiles of the devil and the temptations of the world. We need the armor of God, including the shoes, so that we may be able to withstand the evil day. In order to stand firm, we need to be strong in the Lord, says Paul in verse 10, and in the power of his might. If we try to strengthen ourselves, to brace ourselves with a good resolve, holy thoughts and good works, we will be defeated by God's enemy for sure. No, God needs to be our power and strength. And only if we take refuge in the Lord, we will be spiritually strengthened. And for this purpose, the Lord provides the gospel armor which we need to put on. And we have already considered the two parts of this armor, namely the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Only the belt of truth can protect us from lies. Our deepest emotions and considerations need to be held together by the girdle of truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. And only by his Spirit we will be led and kept with his truth. The breastplate of righteousness is the righteousness of Christ, which we need to protect our heart. Only because of Christ's righteousness imputed to us, we are righteous before God. And when the devil comes with all his accusations regarding our guilt and iniquity, we need to protect our accused heart and conscience with the righteousness of Christ. Only his righteousness, imputed to us by faith, can quench the fiery arrows of Satan. Do you remember? This breastplate is tightly bound to the chest. So close does Christ's righteousness come to us, so that we cannot be condemned anymore, since Christ's righteousness has become ours by faith. And we learn that the belt and the breastplate of a Roman soldier are closely connected. The breastplate is firmly fastened to the belt. The righteousness of Christ cannot be known without knowing the truth of God's word. And now Paul continues by pointing to the soldier's shoes. And what appears? The soldier also needs to stand firm after he has put on the whole armor of God. He needs to be confident. And therefore he needs to be shod with appropriate shoes. And without proper shoes, a Roman soldier was not fit for the battle. And we wonder, what does a Roman soldier's shoe look like? Well, it was a special shoe, a kind of boot. It was a half boot, a open-toed leather shoe. It was tied to his lower legs with straps, and this was not a shoe for running, as I said, but on the contrary, the shoe provided stability to the soldier. How? Well, that has to do with what is found under the shoe. Look at the sole. What sticks out of the sole? Nails. The boots have a heavy nailed studded sole. You can compare it with studs on soccer shoes. They ensure that you do not slip easily. And they give the foot traction and prevent slipping and sliding. We have to keep in mind that an ancient battle consisted mainly of hand-to-hand and foot-to-foot fights. So these boots gave a Roman soldier an advantage over an enemy who was not shod with spiked shoes. So these shoes provide stability to a soldier. It also provided protection. One of the wiles of the enemy was to sow the roads and fields with little sharp pieces of iron, glass, and other material. They also used so-called caltrops, an iron ball consisting of two or more sharp nails or spikes arranged in such a way that one of them always points upward from a stable base. These are the precursor of the landmine. And if you step on a sharp piece of iron, you would seriously hurt yourself. Then you're not fit for the battle anymore. But a solid shoe protects you against these snares. Well, what does Paul mean with this picture in relation to the armor of God? The shoes which we need to wear are called preparation of the gospel of peace. These are shoes handed by God to the believer. To the believer. If you are not born again, if you are not a true believer, then it is impossible for you to shoe yourself with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to know the peace of God experientially to properly shoe ourselves. And that is what we need to address before we listen to the apostle admonition. It's of vital importance to have an experiential knowledge of the gospel of peace. What does it mean, the gospel of peace? Well, peace is the content of the gospel. This is about the good news that it is possible to live in peace with God again and with our neighbor. Peace which is merited by Christ's atoning suffering and death. Peace which we can only find in Christ. And that is what we desperately need, since we are not so peaceable as we might look. You are peacefully listening to the sermon, I trust. But by nature, we are at war with God. And that's a shocking reality since our fall in Adam and Eve.
In paradise, there was peace. There was perfect communion with God and between Adam and Eve. But we gave in to the wiles of the devil. Peace was replaced with envy. And since then, there is no true peace on earth. Dissatisfaction dominates the world. There is sin and chaos. And the effects of our rebellion are appalling. Scripture teaches us that by nature we hate God and our neighbor. Has this reality ever shocked you? I am a man, a woman, a boy or a girl that has trodden God's heart underfoot. When this reality hits you deeply, you will start to wonder how in the world God can still bear with you. That is a miracle of grace, isn't it? That is something we need to realize time and again. God does not wipe us from the surface of the earth. No, he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. What a miracle of grace. God cannot let sin go unpunished, no. But instead of punishing his people, he shows his love to the world by laying the penalty of damned worthy sinners upon his Son. If you think that God is not a God of peace, then you have never really looked into the mirror of your own rebellion. The fact that we are still alive and sit under the preaching of the gospel is a clear proof that God is the God of peace. What a miracle of grace. God offers his peace to us in and through his only begotten and much beloved Son. Every Lord's Day we hear at the beginning of the worship service, grace and peace be unto you. Grace be unto you and peace. That is the salvation which God offers to us through Christ. Peace is God's gift of grace, and grace takes the form of an all-encompassing peace. He is our peace, says Paul in chapter 2, verse 14. And we cannot know true peace in life apart from Christ. This is what the Jews need. That is what the Palestinians need in our days. But also you and me. Paul says in Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God, since all our sins are blotted out. No obstacle, no sin or devil separates us from God anymore. If we are justified by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ, we obtain peace for our hearts. And this is a peace which surpasses all understanding. Do you know this gospel of peace? I do not ask you whether you know much about the Bible, but whether you know actual peace in your heart. What does that mean? Then we have surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ as a slain sinner. Then you hand in all your weapons of resistance and rebellion. You, as it were, allow yourself to be stripped so that you have nothing to cover your sin, your deceits, and your rebellion against God. And you are ashamed because of who you are before your Maker, and you feel sorry for all your iniquity and sinful inclinations. But instead of being condemned by him, you are acquitted because of Christ's merits. You find forgiveness of sin and peace for your heart with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that is what the Lord does under the preaching of the gospel. As it were, he invites you to the negotiating table without demanding anything from you. Instead, he says, "Come now, and let us reason together," saith the Lord. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool." He offers you his peace in and through his Son. And if you know of that miracle, then we stand amazed at God's willingness to receive rebels. He regenerates rebels. He renews and forgives in the way of repentance and faith. And he molds and shapes us into the image of Christ. And therefore, we need to put on the whole armor of God. And part of what we need is to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, as we see in our second thought, the need of this shoe. In order to stand firm and unmovable in the evil days of Satan's attacks, we need to be shod with these shoes. Satan does all he can to knock us down. And that happens if we are not shod with these shoes. We cannot stand in the evil days if we do not stand firmly, being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But what are the strategies of the evil one to knock us over? What are the sharp pieces and he throws on our way in the battle against sin and Satan, which will disable us in our fight? Well, he will do all he can to take away your peace, which Christ has made for his people. No, Satan is not able to eliminate all which Christ has merited on the cross, including peace for his people. But he can attack God's people in such a way that they lose all comfort and assurance which proceed from the peace of God. One of Satan's devices is to point us to our failures in spiritual life. He points us to our unworthiness, our natural enmity, our sin, and our incapability to stand firm against all the temptations of the world. And when we start looking at self, we've only reason to be discouraged. Who of God's people should not bow his or her head in shame when counting your failures, which make you unfit and unworthy for the service of the Lord? The idea alone that we should look for some worthiness in self is an act of pride. How easily do we not fall into that trap? We look at self and must conclude, in all honesty, I fall far short of the glory of God. I'm not what I should be. And then we feel disappointed, discouraged, and hopeless. But then we cannot stand in the evil day. Then we run stuck and will not experience peace with God. Another device of Satan is to tempt us to fall into sin. He seeks to tempt us to give in to a bosom sin by which we will greatly hurt our soul. Without being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we cannot offer resistance in the evil day. Satan creates so many pitfalls and traps which he throws on our pathway, which can easily lead us to despair when our feet are not properly shod. And then the smallest attack will blow us over.
And yet, blessed be the God of peace. He also provides shoes by which we can stand firm. Look at the solid material. Look at the spikes under the shoes. With these shoes, you can stand firm, firm in the peace of God. The shoes are not simply called the gospel of peace, but the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's the emphasis. And the word preparation here means being ready. Ready for what? For the battle in the evil day. We are ready if we stand firm. The gospel of peace works in us this readiness. It's a being alert, a readiness which will become our nature if we truly live from the gospel of peace. If we live from the gospel of peace, then this will give us a joyful peace of God in our hearts, a solid awareness that we are reconciled to God is joyfully sublime. Peace with God will provide us with assurance of His favor. And that's an assurance we need. This proceeds from a joyful alertness of mind and heart, which is so essential to succeed in the spiritual conflict. It keeps us from ending up in despondency or even worse, despair. Being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace means that we walk closely with the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus. We strive to live in a spiritual awareness of the peace of God in and through Christ. He is our peace. And when our feet are shut with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we stand firm in the peace of God. And that peace lets us stand firm in the evil day. What does that mean for our daily life? Well, the gospel of peace affects our life. It will rule your heart. Only if we live from this peace, we stand firm and strong. And Satan wants to lead us to despair, and he tries to create chaos. And how successful isn't he in our personal lives, in family life, and in society? And how easily do we not waver and fall? But if we are shot in this peace, we stand firm against the greatest assaults of the enemy. And then we experience in truth that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Being shod with these shoes means that we daily find ourselves at peace with God, which is found alone with Christ. We find peace and rest in Christ's finished work. We enjoy the experience of peace which God offers us. It's a new environment which protects us from Satan's devices. And then you find peace in the evil day. Though so much testifies against you, you cannot but flee to the Lord with whom you find rest and peace. You find peace by sheltering behind Christ's blood time and again. Recall the Lord Jesus, who perfectly experienced peace with God when he walked on the surface of the earth. See him sleeping in the ship while he was threatened by the stormy sea. The enormous billows and howling wind could not disturb his rest. He laid at peace, since he entrusted his body and soul entirely to his Father, who never slumbers nor sleeps. And the Lord Jesus enjoyed perfect communion with his Father. There was perfect peace in his soul. That is a peace from above, a peace that cannot be created by man. Since this peace comes from above, it will raise us above the difficulties which surround us. And that is what we always need to keep in mind. Peace with God comes from above. It's given, merited by Christ. To be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace is only possible because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who in the stead of his people let himself be stripped as an object of God's wrath, thereby securing peace for his people. And when he hung between heaven and earth, he did not experience peace in his soul. He became God's greatest enemy ever. He bore the wrath of God against all our rebellion, pride, and envy in order to make peace. And by his blood, he has made the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Of peace. So that his people will stand firm in the day of evil. And only if we are shod with these shoes, we will experience his peace, which surpasses all understanding. And then Satan may go around like a roaring lion, and the world may be against us, and this harmony may threaten the congregation. But if we all are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, then we will stand firm. And then we find rest for our souls and experience peace among each other, because we live from the peace of Christ. That is peace in experience. Then we are well, and the Lord exercises and challenges us to live from this peace. And under the preaching of his word, he fortifies the lives of true believers. That is why his peace superabounds all understanding. But how can we be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? That's what we want to consider in our third thought, the putting on of shoes. I already pointed to our base condition. We need to know peace with God. But in order to stand firm in this peace, we need to live in humility. To put shoes on our feet, we need to bow. Otherwise, we cannot fasten them tight. Do you see the picture? When you put on a shoe, you bow and go on one knee. Well, that is the work of a Christian. Bending his or her knee, seeking communion with the Lord continually. This characterizes a life of peace. And that affects our conversation with others. Boys and girls, what do you do to be at peace with one another? Well, you will behave well. You do the right thing so that no one will have any problem with you. But being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace is more than behaving yourself. It means that we are willing to be the least. When you put on the shoes of the peace of God, then you have learned to do what is best for your fellow man. Then you question not, what can I get out of it, but what can I give? Not what can I get from others, but how can I serve others? And if you live in peace with the Lord, then you cannot live in envy with your neighbor. Then you cannot cherish bitterness in your heart about others. Instead, you are willing to forgive one another, since by grace you live from God's peace. And the Lord Jesus has left a clear example, and he still welcomes sinners to come to him with all their unsettledness and unrest due to sin and own guilt. And all who come to him, he will teach to become meek and lowly in heart by directing them to look to him, expecting all from him. But how can it be, congregation, that so many of us, if I'm not mistaken, that so many of us lack peace so often? Well, maybe we should check our shoes. What are you shod with? You cannot stand firm in God's peace if you are shod with the wrong shoes. How many of us are shod with slippers of passivity? Maybe you know of that miracle of God's one-sided love in your life, but you fail to seek the Lord continually while you are in evil days. You reason that you depend on the Lord's sustaining and reviving grace, so all you can do is wait without earnestly seeking the Lord. Maybe you are shod with sandals of spiritual laziness and assumption. You seek the Lord, you pray to him, but it's not with a fervent love and with zeal, since you do not perceive the dangers of the evil day. You assume that all will be fine in the end, and you are at peace with a minimum of spiritual fruit in your life. It can also be that you are shod with patent leather of self-righteousness. You do your best to maintain peace with God by performing good works, and you find yourself better than so many others who seem not to be so active as you. Well, these different kinds of shoes I just mentioned fit well, since they please our flesh. And yet in the spiritual battle, they will hinder us. We can easily slip or hurt our feet with the sharp pieces of deceit. And we easily waver and fall to the ground. We are not fit for the battle if we are not shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What keeps us from being shod with these shoes? Well, there can be many reasons, but let me briefly mention three general reasons why Paul's admonition is so relevant also for us. First of all, lukewarmness keeps us from alertness and a readiness in the gospel of peace. Maybe you recall that this was the sin of one of the churches in Asia Minor. John had to write to the angel of the Laodiceans, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot." When we leave our first love and indulge bosom sin and repent half-heartedly, we're not willing to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Another reason why we are slow to put on these shoes is that we are content with ourselves and content with our religion. We think we know of peace since we are kept from gross sins. And outwardly it looks as if we are alive. I don't see you right now. But when I think of you, then many of you have the appearance of being a true believer. But we know from Scripture that what matters is not what we perceive, but what lives in our hearts. Contenting, pleasing ourselves is a sin which is ruinous to the church. If our contentment is not in God, then we are in great danger spiritually. Another obstacle for putting on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace is earthly mindedness. Then love to the world still dwells in our hearts. We conform ourselves to the world, and we give in to various forms of worldliness. Children of peace see God's kingdom first and love the treasures of His kingdom. There are temptations around us and in us. And if we do not guard ourselves from the danger of riches and idols called money, then we will lose our shoes of peace and cannot possibly stand in the evil day. Then our walk is not in heaven, but still on earth. What do we need? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, says Paul to Timothy. Daily we need to realize our natural inclination to all evil. Daily we need to realize our natural inclination to all evil. Realize that by nature we are enemies of God and of His peace. And we are vulnerable to give in to all kinds of temptations and deceptions. We need a daily exercise of faith. We daily need to seek the Lord. And we so need the guidance of the Spirit who leads into all truth. May He give us a sight of the Lord Jesus Christ time and again, so that we will meditate upon Christ's suffering and death by which He has made peace for wretched sinners. How? Well, by coming to Him with all our sins and backslidings, lukewarmness and earthly mindedness, and anything else that keeps you from experiencing sweet communion with the Lord. Confess your inability and unwillingness and beseech the Lord that He fill your heart with heavenly graces. Plead with the Lord and lean on His promises and give up your resistance and find the peace merited by Christ. But I'm not worthy of it. That's right. But Christ is not welcoming worthy people, but those who have forfeited all. You may come with your unfitness. He welcomes those who must confess that they are rebels in themselves. He does not ask you what you can offer Him. In the Middle East, they try to make peace again with endless negotiations. How different is Christ? He is the great peacemaker, and He offers peace without any conditions. He is peace and provides peace and also offers you the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. And with Him, we find boldness to come. Why would you live any longer without His peace? Why would you tarry?
our days are evil days. Satan attacks you and has no mercy. Consider the sublime peace of Christ. What did it not cost him to make peace for you? He gave up his life. Do not abuse his peace by refusing to put on the shoes of preparation of the gospel of peace. But let peace rule your heart, and let Christ keep your heart and mind, and you will experience joy and blessing of which the world knows nothing. Amen.